name's Ann Wood, and I'm an alcoholic.
Amen.
First, I want to thank you so much. Go ahead. What do we need to do? I know I'm short, huh? Thank you. I want to thank you so very much for inviting me here. I want you to know that it's a true privilege to be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to thank you so much for all that you have done this weekend to help me to feel comfortable. And whoever made that basket, are you here? Oh, killer. I loved it. Saved me last night around 3 o'clock in the morning. I got out those chocolate things, you know, they were, oh, it was very, very good. I want to thank you, Paul, too, for just being an inspiration and being so involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. I want you to know that there's very many people in this room that I know. There's a little girl here that I'm looking at right now who just shared in my home group last Monday night, or maybe the Monday night before. But I feel good being here, and I'm blessed to be with you. And my sobriety date is May 18th, 1981. That my sponsor is Millie G. She's a member of the Pacific Group. And my home group is the Bellflower Big Book Group. I want to thank Ken for coming with me. And we've just really been having a good time. I'm not very funny. I'm really not. I would really like to be funny, but I'm not. So I'm just going to tell you what it was like and what happened and what I'm like today. I don't ever want to forget who I was. I'm a car painter and I'm a bedwetter. That's who I am. That's what I do when I drink. I can get dressed up and I can show up here tonight and I have on my little fancy clothes and my little shoes. But what I do is that I drink so much that I just can't wake up. So I wet the bed, work the couch, I don't care. You try to look around and find somebody to blame it on, there's nobody there. I have a rage inside of me that I can't even explain to you. There's a rage that bubbles so deep down inside of me, and it's been there all my life. And I have come off with people that my mom and dad were really good people. If my drinking had anything to do with my parents, I would not be here. I hear people get up to this podium and they say their parents hurt them. Oh, wow, I would have really drank then too. But my mom and dad wasn't like that. My mom and dad were really kind to my brother and I. They did everything possible to make my brother and I, you know, have a good life. My brother is 2 years older than I am. I like to talk about him. You know that he does things because it's the right thing to do. Do you know that he didn't have to read a little book? That he didn't have to have a sponsor? That he doesn't have to have somebody telling him and guiding him and directing him? My brother gets up in the morning and he just does the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And I just do not understand him. I never did understand him. I just do not get that. My brother is an architect. He's very smart. He lives on Coronado. I was 2 years behind him in school. Boy, were they disappointed. That comes Jimmy Gordon's sister. Oh. They were also very, very excited about 2 weeks into school, and then they just went, you know, I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous, in inventory in Alcoholics Anonymous, that when... school was just too much work. Do you know what I mean? And the bottom line is my parents loved me and my brother so much, and I heard my mom and dad one night talking about me. Because my mother would try to do that, you know, teach me how to spell, and we would just sit there. Now, my brother is over there, and he's just doing what he's supposed to be doing. You know, it's just amazing, and you know, studying and all that stuff. And she's trying to teach me my spelling words, and I'm a very, very little girl. And I just heard her talking to my dad that night, and she said, you know, Lori, she said, we just can't expect her to be Jimmy. She's just not as bright as he is, and, you know, and we just got to quit pushing her so hard and just let her be who she is and just love her. You know, I was so relieved. I didn't want to learn how to spell. The reason I act like that is I didn't want to learn how to spell. I didn't want to be disciplined. I didn't want to have to do that. It was just too hard. I like just being the center of attention, bouncing around, being goofy. I'm so grateful that I came to a program in Alcoholics Anonymous, and then I finally found out that, how are you, Ann? Fine. How's everything going? Fine. How's your life? Fine. How's school? Fine. How's he? Fine. Everything's fine. Bottom line is, it's none of your business. I'm just fine. Thank you. Smiling. What I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous is, see, I just want you to stay right back there. I'm fine, thank you. Leave me alone. Don't get too close to me. Don't even think you're going to get close to me. Don't come up close to me and think that you know me. You don't know me. Stay back. I don't like you. I've never liked you. I don't even know who you are, but I just stay with me. Fine. How are you? Fine. Fine. I don't know why I was like that, but I can tell you for a period of time that if you used to keep me afraid for a long enough period of time, I get angry. And if you keep me angry for a long enough period of time, you see, I'm enraged. I'm enraged in here because I don't know how to tell you. Don't treat me like that. I don't like it when you treat me like that. Please don't talk to me like that. I don't like it when you talk to me like that. I learned in my inventory in Alcoholics Anonymous that the reason that I allowed you to talk to me the way that you talked to me and do the things that you did to me is because I was afraid you were going to leave me. So I take what you hand out and I just allow you to speak to me in a way that I really didn't want to, and see, then I just get filled right up to here. So at around 9:30 on a Thursday night, I was sitting at home drinking. And this man had hurt my feelings, and he was a Norwalk sheriff. So I thought about this store, and I just went over to this store called National Lumber. National Lumber, I walked in there, and I should be so drunk that I shouldn't be able to get off the couch, but you know what I mean? I walked in there, and I bought 3 quarts of candy apple red paint, screwdriver, plastic bag, drove over to the Norwalk Sheriff Station parking lot, got out of my car, walked into that police station, found that green cougar. He loved that green cougar. I find that green cougar, and I first take that first can out. And I'm not talking about that little spray paint, you know. I'm talking about red enamel, candy apple red enamel. You pop that first lid, and you throw it on the back. Second lid, throw it on the top. Third lid, throw it on the front. Watch this red paint drip off this green cougar for a few seconds. Now I'm drunk, but I'm not stupid. Out of the corner of my eye, I can see these black and whites are going in, out, in, out, in, out. I knew that I needed to get out of there, you know what I mean? So I pick up the cans, I pick up the lid, pick up the screwdriver, and my brain goes, this is the police station. Don't leave that screwdriver. You could leave your fingerprints on it. Like, is that stupid? Threw that screwdriver in there, jump in my car, find a Dipsy dumpster on the way home, and wait for the call. <laughs> 11 o'clock, phone rings. Ann, you're not going to believe this. Really? Someone painted my car. No kidding. Must have been one of them trustees or somebody I arrested followed me in here and painted my car. Wow, that is too bad. Well, I'll be home as soon as I can. I just got to get some of this red paint off the car. Okay. And you hang up and you feel real good. You know what I mean? I've never known how to tell anybody. I've always been afraid. You have always scared me. I have always been afraid you won't like me. I keep this little piece of candy in my hand just in case I get too freaked out and you scare me too much, so I can pop it in here because, you know, when I get real nervous, my lips stick to my teeth and I can't talk. Do you know what I mean? I'm not that scared. I'm still twiddling this little piece of candy. But if I get real scared and I throw that in there, don't act like you saw me do that, because my little sponsor, Millie, don't like it when I put that little candy in my mouth, but I just can't help it. Anyway, being a part of this little family, my father was a Portuguese man. He was a little Portuguese fellow, and he lived in a little town called Tulare, California. In Tulare, California, there were gangs way back, way, 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 way back. There were these gangs. And he was rowdy. He was one of the first Catholic Portuguese guys in the town of Tulare that ever got a divorce. Oh, God. None of the little Portuguese girls could go out with him. He was just a mess. And he was drunk, and he had his little gang. And they would go to this bar, and they were gamblers, and they were crazy. And one night, one of his little buddies got his finger cut off. So they go over to this emergency room in Tulare, and there's this little girl who's 21 years old from Kansas. Can you imagine the courage that it must take for a little person who's 21 years old to come to a town called Tulare with a fill of people that are people that don't even speak the same language as her? She's courageous. And she left a home, and I found it out when she was 50 years old that she told my family that her stepdad had hurt her. She was a courageous woman. And she was in that emergency room, and this doctor goes and tells this little nurse, "You need to go out there and tell those people they need to be quiet. They're making entirely too much noise." If you've never been in a room full of Portuguese people that are drunk, I mean, like, they move their arms around a lot, like Italians. But the language, you get a lot of spit, and they're and you're spraying, and the spit is just like, and they're talking, and they're emotional, and they're flopping around, and they're screaming, and they're just way too rowdy, and they're just all drunk and spraying everything. This little girl goes out there, and she says, "You guys have to be quiet. This is an emergency room, and you people have to be quiet out here." And this little man, he spun around, and he looked at that woman, and he said, "I'm going to marry you someday." And that's my mom and dad. And they talk about my dad in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. He's what you call a heavy drinker. They describe him to a T. He finds a reason, a doctor, he falls in love. Something so profound happens in his life, and he can quit. He used to say things to me like, "Ann, what you do is you muster it up from inside. You pull it together from what inside. You remember who you are. You remember who you came from. You just pull it up in here and you just don't drink, Ann." Oh, I tried that. When I have to have a drink, I have to have a drink. My mom and dad took us to this church. I used to blame that church too. These feelings inside of me cannot possibly be my fault. They have to be your fault, her fault, their fault, somebody else's fault. I can't feel this bad by myself. Maybe it was that stupid church, you know what I mean? We would go to this church, and I'm a little kid, and I'm behind my brother. And I will never forget this. It's Friday night at 5 o'clock or 12 o'clock on Saturday, noon. And you line up on the wall, and it's getting closer and closer, and my brother's in front of me, and I'm watching him. And, like, I'm just getting, how bad can you be when you're 8? You know, but... And it's just getting bigger and bigger, and I'm more afraid, and I'm just so scared, and I just don't want to go in there. And my brother's just kind of standing there cash. He's always cash. He's just standing there. And he goes in that little bitty room, and, you know, he comes out, goes in front of the church, gets on his knees. And I go in that little bitty room, you know what I mean? It's very, very dark in there. If you've never been in one of those little bitty rooms, it's very, very dark in there, and this little window, like, slides open. Well, I lied. I always lied. I made up stuff. I couldn't tell him. Like, I mean, it just, I couldn't tell him. I would just make up stuff and just lie. And I don't know why. I just couldn't tell him. So then you get up and he tells you these prayers. And then you go up to the front of the church and you get on your knees. And I mean, I wasn't a stupid kid either. They must be the wrong prayers because I lied. So they're obviously not the wrong prayers. So I'm not going to say no prayers at all. I'm just going to sit here on my knees and I wait for my brother. And he slides back and then I slide back. And then we walk out of there. And you see, my brother walks out in peace. And I walk out of there and I know I'm bad. And I know God is angry. I know he's very, very mad at me. And I'm afraid. I found in an inventory in Alcoholics Anonymous that the reason that I wouldn't tell that man is because it's none of his business. It is the same thing that makes me tell you, fine, I'm fine, thanks. It's none of his business. And my little mind at 8 years old is going, that guy's never even been married before. What does he know about life? I'm not telling him. Do you know that when you have an attitude like that, you haven't even drank yet, you put some booze behind that? I mean, that can cause you grief. A lot of grief. My mom and dad were good people. I will tell you about them later on, but I want to just get to exactly who I am. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I want you to know that painting, that was not the only car I painted. I painted a maroon van, robin egg blue, 3 days before Christmas in a little town called Lakewood, right at dusk. Because he had hurt my feelings, too. I'm afraid. I don't want you to know. I'm fine. I'm enraged. And I'm smiling. I don't want you to think my drinking was all bad. 1979. Disco dancing. Now, we had platform shoes this big all the way around. And you get glitter, and they're glittered all the way around the bottom. And then you get all dolled up, and you have four or five drinks, maybe five or six, maybe more. Who goes to a bar sober? I just want to know that. You can't go to a bar sober. You got to get fired up. I can't go to a bar sober. It's scary to go to a bar sober. I got to get, you know. And then you get these shoes on, and they're all glittery out here, and you go into this bar, and you're going to disco dance, and they have a ball in that bar, and it's mirrored, and it spins around, you know what I mean? And here you are, and you got four or five drinks in you, maybe six, maybe seven, just kind of depending. And you go to the bar, and you start dancing. Now, disco dancing required a partner, but you can do anything if you have to, you know what I mean? So I'm out there, and I'm having a really, very good time, and I have four or five more drinks. Maybe five or six, you know. Here she comes. Oh. Can you just shut up? Can you just shut up and dance? Can you just shut up and have a good time? Can you just shut up and dance? Do you have to do it, Ann? Can you just shut up and have fun and dance? No. I don't know what drink it's going to be, but here she's going to come. It's that woman. It's that one. It's that one that's just, oh, so angry. It's the one that's just been fine, 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 just fine. Everything's fine. It's just volatile and angry. And here comes that drink, man, and I don't know which one it's going to be, and I don't want her to come. Just shut up and dance. And then what you do is you stand toe-to-toe to the biggest idiot in there. And you say stupid things to him like, go ahead and hit me, I dare you. And they do. Now, you're laying on the floor of a place called Basin Street. Basin Street over there in Lakewood. Not that fancy one they moved on to Lakewood Boulevard, and that little dingy one that was over there on South Street in Palos Verdes, behind Sears. That's where I was. Now I'm laying on the floor and I got blood coming out of both my eyebrows. And I'm laying there going, why do you act like that? Why do you talk? Why? What is wrong with you? Why are you so angry? What is the matter with you? I don't know. And my head goes, you know, there's bad people out there, and you better start drinking at home. That's what I learned. It had absolutely nothing to do with my drinking. You guys were getting rough and mean. And I better start drinking at home. That's what I learned. Disco dancing. Man, if you missed it, too bad. That ball is swinging around, hits the glitter and bounces off that mirror, hits the glitter on my shoes. Oh, my God, when it was good, it was really good. You know what I mean? Oh, isn't it great when you're looking good and you know it? And 15 minutes later, you're laying on the ground with two eyebrows. Because when you get me that far gone, you see, I'm that far gone. I'm volatile. I got this rage. I don't care how big you are. I don't care what you say to me. I don't care what you do. I'm up. I'm going to get up. I'm going to keep getting up. So you go, pow, pow, you got to lay me out. Blood, both eyebrows. Because, see, I'm crazy. And I don't know what's the matter with me. What is wrong with you? Why do you act like that? I'm the kind of gal that... I'm going to tell you one more story because I love being sober. When you drink like me and you act like me, when you find a place like Alcoholics Anonymous, and you come with a desperation, when you don't have one more good idea, when you don't have one more person that you can shuck and jive, when you don't have one more person that you can manipulate and con and find, when you don't have one more person, and you come to Alcoholics Anonymous desperate, man, this program works. You got one more good idea. Darn it, gotta go back out there. There was a little girl, her name is Lori. She has 7 years of sobriety. She is my daughter. She was 8 years old when I got here. I want you to know, all of you moms out there, that if you have a child, my daughter bobbed and weaved for the first 4 years I was here. I want you to know that if you stay and you listen to the women, and if you men stay and listen to the men, you will learn how to be dads, and you will learn how to be a mom, and your children will be able to take their rightful place. Because I am the woman at 3 o'clock in the morning that's sliding down the hall crying, and my daughter, who is 7 at the time, gets out of bed, comes out in the hall, puts her arms around me, and pats me on the back, and says, Mama, everything will be okay, and puts me back to bed. If I get nothing else out of Alcoholics Anonymous, that I can be the mother and she can be the child and give her the privilege of just being a little kid. What a privilege Alcoholics Anonymous is. I knew that I was not an alcoholic because alcoholics do not have homes. If they do, they are filthy. And they never have groceries for their children. My house was spotless, man. You could eat off my floor. I had groceries in that refrigerator. Because I'm not an alcoholic. That's doing all the things that you did that you don't want to do. That's waking up. That's just doing all the stuff that we don't talk about from the podium that you have done that makes you get up in the morning and just shudder. It's all those things. But I had a spotless house and groceries and a refrigerator, and I am not an alcoholic. I made that up. I went off to the store, and I left this little girl in the garage. Now, if you're a Mormon, I don't care. Because I'm going to talk about this little family that lived across the street. They were beautiful, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, 5 of them Mormon children. I hated them. I hated their mother. I'd leave my kid in the garage, and there's beautiful little Mormon kids in there, and she's lip-syncing to a song, Debbie Boone, You Light Up My Life. All these kids are just sitting there, and my kid is just singing. And it's one of those nights that you have overshot the mark the night before. You know what I'm talking about? You get up in the morning, and there's absolutely nothing left. There's a cigarette butt and a half glass of wine. You run all over the house, and if one person goes, ew, I'm going to get really... I wonder, I come to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I say that they have a half glass of wine, it's got a cigarette butt in there. And people go, ew. I go, wow. I mean, that is so mild. If you can't take that cigarette butt, flick that thing out of there and drink that half a glass of wine, you know, I don't know what to tell you. It's my cigarette. It's my half glass of wine. Ew. I ask him, wow. I wouldn't even dare tell you the rest of this stuff, honey. After the store, you go and you leave this kid out in the garage, and you know, you go to the market, and this is what you got to do. You work 2.5 days a week, 2.5 days a week, pays this little houseman of home that I live in, Cerritos, pays my little car payment, buys groceries. 2.5 days a week. That's what I can do. You run over to the market, and you go over to the liquor section, and you line the whole bottom of your cart with Gallo's Pink Chablis, because I'm a fine connoisseur of wine, and Lucky's brand vodka. Lucky, so it's fine. Half gallons. I hear people get this podium, and they say that they buy a dog ear, dog leg, some little bitty bottle. Why? If I want a little bitty bottle, I'll pour it in a little bitty bottle, but I'm not buying no little bitty bottle. It's stupid. It's stupid. So you line the whole bottom of your cart with your wine and your vodka, and then you run around the store, and you buy fruit and vegetables, lettuce, meat, like you're going to cook. You know what I mean? And then you run back over to the liquor section, and you get yourself these cans. Wow, they had invented those cans. Mai Tais, 7 different kinds of rum, black stuff loaded on the top. You have, oh, my God, was that an invention? In a can. I love that. And you run up to the check stand, and you make sure she puts those 2 cans in a brown paper bag. Because, see, I'm sweating like a pig now. That half glass of wine is not going to cut it. I need to drink. I need to drink before I go. I need to drink my eyeballs open. I need to drink. But I'm a good mom, and I'm not an alcoholic, because I went to the market. I want those cans in a brown paper bag, so when I get out in the car, I don't need flopping around in those plastic bags, because I need a drink. So you get out there, and you get out to your car, open up the door, jump in the car, find the brown paper bag, leave the groceries in the cart. I don't care. Here it comes. Here it comes. If you understand this, you never have to be uncomfortable meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, because there's 2 of us. I pop that lid, and I'm sitting in there, and I'm sweating, and I'm shaking. And you fire that baby down, and here it comes. God. You pop that second lid, and you fire that baby down, and here it comes again. Jesus, I'm going to be able to get these groceries out of the cart. That's what alcohol does for me. I hear people get up at this podium and they say they take a drink and it goes, pow, God, I envy you. I have never taken a drink so that I can, pow. I take a drink just so that I can, God. You're in the loads of groceries and you're going home and I need a drink really bad now. Those 2 little cans, they ain't going to do nothing. By the way, if you ever lit one of them things on fire? I never had any problem with step 2. You know, it's no wonder if you're crazy. No, I had no problem. Yes, I am. Somebody told me that that black stuff that floats on top of that 7 different kinds of rum, that if you light that thing on fire, it catches on fire. Oh, my God, it does. Stick a little, poof, comes right out of there. It was cool. I love that. Don't shake it. Don't stir it. I don't want that. I love that black stuff, whatever it is. I don't even want to know. I don't want to know the name. Don't even bother telling me because I don't care. But that black stuff, and it kind of makes your head go whoop. Oh, I love that. I'm on my way home, and I get home, and this little kid's still lip-syncing. Debbie Boone. And here's these little 5 Mormon kids. They're still sitting there. And she wants to keep me happy. Do you understand what I mean? If you're a mom and your children want to keep you happy, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid that they will never be able to be a child. Do not be afraid that you won't know how to be a mom. I hid in AA meetings for the first year acting like I was being a good AA member. I was just afraid to be a mom. Smiling. My kid dropped the bag that had one of the bottles of wine and it splattered all over the garage floor. Ooh, God. When you're sick like me, see, my head said, you did that on purpose. So I got to grab her by the throat and get her down in front of those Mormon kids and choke her. And I'm always amazed when people laugh at that. It's just so sad that it's almost funny, isn't it? It is. Is it incredible what we do? And the thought occurred to me, if one of them other little rugrats drop those bottles. I'm going to blow up right here in the garage, right in front of them. Just poof, I'm just going to blow up. So I let her go, and I run in the house, and you pop that vodka, and you don't use a glass, and you fire it down again and again and again and again and again until the feeling comes, God, probably ought to go out there and say something to them kids. If I say something to them kids, then I'm going to have to look at the way I look. I'm not quite ready to look at the way I look, what I'm doing, so I just go out real fast, put a smile on my face. Okay, you guys, we got groceries here. We got some cookies, we got some candy, and come on, I got ice cream going here. And you start herding them around, you know what I mean? You get them going, and you get them all in the house, and that kid's looking at you like, she's going to be okay now. And they all go in the house, and they pick up the bags and everything. And you live like that day after day after day after day after day. And you have a hymn. Women like me have a hymn. We were married, sort of. Do you know what I mean? Sort of married. I mean, I was married, sort of. We were brown paper beggars. A brown paper beggar is a person who both people drink, never in the same bar. It's very, very dangerous to drink in the same bar. He had his bar, I have my bar. You get home, he's not there. Oh, that makes me very, very angry. He is out having more fun than me. Oh, I don't like that. So you put his clothes in a brown paper bag, put him on the porch. He drives by, sees the brown paper bag, very dangerous in the house, grabs bag and gets out of there. When I'm that far gone, see, and there's a brown paper bag on the porch, get the heck out of there. Because, see, I mean, like, phones get hit, hammer, get hit over the head with a hammer in the middle of the night, blood spurts out your forehead. China touches, fall over in the middle of the night, your grandmother's china is just... Because we're having fun. Fun. Anyway, this kid, we're in the house, and I want you to know that the reason that I hated those children and I hated their mother is because every Sunday morning, I am sitting on my couch, and they lived across the street, and I've done something really ugly. I can't remember what it is, but I know it was ugly. And I know I'm going to remember it, or somebody's going to tell me, and I really wish they wouldn't. And I'm sitting there just wondering what's wrong, and I'm watching, and out comes this lady. These five little beautiful children come walking out. They're all clean. They have all been fed. Out comes this woman. She's got on her nicest dress. They sit in this stupid brown station wagon. And out come her husband, and he is in a suit, and they drive off to their church. I have to hate you. If all I've ever wanted all my life is to be a good mom and to be a good wife, and I don't know how to do that, if there is ever anything an Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me, well, I hate anything that I don't know how to get that I want. I have to make you wrong. I have done that all my life. If you have something that I want and I don't know how to get it, I just hate you. I hated her, and I just wanted to be her so badly. I just want to be a good mom. I don't know how to do that. I can't dress one kid. I can't feed one kid. How does that woman do that? I hate her. There was a woman that worked down at the TikTok. What I really do for a living is that I cut people's hair. People do not like you to cut their hair when you're sweating like a pig and your hands are shaking. So I go down to the corner to this little place. They had a store called a TikTok. They were TikToks. I like that. I always like the name TikTok. I had a little TikTok. I go down there, buying my half-gallon Gallows Pink Chablis. Have your head down. Do you know it? 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I know somewhere I was not supposed to be drinking at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know why I knew that, but we make excuses. Oh, the working women will be coming in soon. And so I got this wine, and I'm going to give them a little glass of wine, and I got my head down. I'm not going to make eye contact with this woman because I do her hair. Do you know those women, those people out there, they do not care why you're buying a bottle at 2:30 in the afternoon, but we have to explain why we're buying that bottle. Do you know what I mean? Is that weird? Why? They don't care. Just have the money. I'll sell it. I got my head down, and I can see that bottle, and she's got it and in the bag, and I've thrown my money out there, and I just want her to take the money and give me the bag. And she said, I have this tape. Yeah. I have this tape. I want you to come in my car and listen to this tape. You know what I really wanted to tell her? It's 2:30 in the afternoon. I haven't had a drink all day long. I have customers to do. I have to make that money. I have to make that house payment. I have to make that car payment. I have to do that. I have to do that. She wants me to go listen to a tape in her car. But because I'm me, I just said, okay, fine. That's fine. Okay, fine. Fine. Sure, fine. I got a half gallon Gallo's pink Chablis in the middle of my lap, and this lady pops in this tape. You know how crazy those alcoholics are when they get us locked in their car? She was bouncing around that front seat. She was so happy. She was so happy. You just got to hear this. You just got to hear this. Good. Are they nuts or what? Here I am. I'm sitting there, and I'm smiling, and pops this tape in, and a very old voice came on. I am not going to tell you that that man was my very best friend. Oh, there are people in this room who know him, who actually knew him. I didn't know. I was just privileged that he was alive when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous and that I got to hear him share whenever he was around. But I know that there are people who are actually friends of his in this room, but I'm not one of them. It makes me crazy when people get up and say, oh, yeah, this is very good. Wow, really? You weren't even born, but that's okay. Anyway, he said Alcoholics Anonymous. Maybe no, that lady had something to do with Alcoholics Anonymous. And he had a laugh. And it was a tee-hee-hee, innocent, sweet laugh. Caught me. I hadn't heard anything that sweet, that innocent. Hadn't had anything happen in my life that pure for a very long time. His name was Chuck C. He bumped my car. I'd have killed anybody else who bumped my car. I was privileged that man bumped my car. He drove a great big old Lincoln, and he bumped my little car sitting there, and I went, Chuck C, bumped my car. We're so weird when we get to Alcoholics Anonymous, aren't we? It's the weirdest thing. That was just so cool. I had two girlfriends left that came to my home. They had their boyfriends. He was in and out mode. I was mixing them drinks, and I was pouring vodka in this little bitty hole of a Diet Coke can, because I don't want you to know. I'm in my own house. I can get me walking, snot flinging drunk, and I'm pouring vodka in this little bitty hole. And my head went, wow, man, there's something wrong with the way you drink. Why are you doing that? I called that little woman from the TikTok. I said, Marion, I think I drink too much. Oh, honey. I've been waiting for you for such a long time. You think you can not drink for a half an hour? Half an hour, is she stupid? You know, half an hour is no time at all if you've already had a drink. But when you're just desperate and you call first and somebody says, then there's a direction. Ugh. Am I not going to drink for half an hour? I don't know. I didn't drink for half an hour. She said, call me back, Ann. We're going to a meeting in Bellflower. I want you to get there early. Bellflower. Oh, God, no, I can't do that. That's where I work. It's all right. Don't you worry. It's going to be at the Woman's Club. The Woman's Club? Are you kidding? Somebody's going to see me. No. It'll be all right. You get there early. It's very, very busy. I'll have a seat for you. I thought, well, what a stupid thing to say. I'm coming. Of course you'll have a seat for me. What? This newcomer, we don't know. I didn't know what a privilege is. Well, this is a busy meeting. That woman had a seat for me. I just figured, I'm coming. Of course you'll have a seat. Why would she even say that, stupid? I come bouncing in there, walking up this. The blessings of Alcoholics Anonymous that I can't even tell you. If I would have known where I was going, I would not have gone there. As much as I have been blessed. Halfway up those stairs when you're going into my home group, teeth. Hi, I'm Fred. Hi, I'm Carol. Hi, I'm Mary. Hi, I'm Sue. Sickening. It was sickening. It was absolutely sickening. All teeth, all smiling, all cheerful, all just... I had not had a drink all day long. Halfway up those stairs, I'm going, ooh, I could have made a mistake. Maybe it was a mistake. Could have been a mistake. Overreacted. But you see, I have a pride and arrogance too. And that pride and arrogance, most of the time, it kicks my butt. But every once in a while, I have too much pride to let you see me cry. I have too much pride to let you see me run. I am not going to turn around and run down those stairs in front of you. I will not do it. So I just shook your hand back and smiled and said, hi, I'm Ann, and walked in there like I owned that joint. That little woman come running up to me, said, I have a seat for you. Come, 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 come. Second section, second row, third seat in. That's my seat. 26 years later, every Monday night, I look and see who's sitting in my seat. You can get sober in that seat. That's my seat. Get up front, Ann. No. Get up front, Ann. No. I don't want to get up front. No, no. Get up front. Ooh, you know how they are. Get up front. Okay. I'm up front because, you see, when I'm sitting back there in the second section, second row, third seat in, I'm looking at the back of your hair going, I bet you went to one of them cheap haircut places and got your hair cut, didn't you? Why would you ever cut your hair like that? Do you not know you need your neck shaved? Why would you ever color your hair like that? There's a person on the podium. It's a participant. I mean, it's a speaker meeting. They're sharing their experience, strength, and hope. And I can't get back. I cannot get over the guy's head in front of me. My mind is talking all the time, all the time, all the time. It's always talking, always visiting, always just chatting right along there. Just going, and numerous, not just one, numerous. I'm up front because I need to be up front because I can't afford to have one person in front of me because I cannot afford to just miss any little thing that I might hear. In my home group, we don't move. We don't get up. We don't walk around. I have no opinion if your group does. I can't have that. I am very busy. My mind will not allow that. I am looking. Oh, why are they wearing those shoes? That was really stupid. Doesn't go with their outfit. I can't afford to have anybody go and get coffee. I can't afford for anybody. We sit in my home group. We sit in our home group when we sit. And just because I might not care what that person has to say, I have been taught that the guy next to me might need to hear exactly what that guy is saying. And I don't have any right to kill him. I don't have any right to get up and go to the bathroom just so you can see me. I don't have any right to get up and walk around and stir so that whatever that man says, maybe somebody two rows behind me, might be just the thing that makes him not run away that night. I don't have the right to kill people, so I sit in my seat. We are a very structured group, and see, I need that. I need to be structured. I need for somebody to have rules and regulations for me. Not rules in Alcoholics Anonymous, but structure. I need structure. I want you to know, I'll get back to my story, but I just want to tell you young people out there today. I went out to the swimming pool, and I'm an old broad. And I saw you kids out there tatted down. And I'm going, they're going to start cussing. They're going to get rowdy. They're going to start fighting. I'm just going to have to go in my room. I'm not going to be able to stay out here. Oh, I want you to know how much I love you. I saw Alcoholics Anonymous at that swimming pool today. I saw kids that are young kids, young men and women with tattoos on them and just like might scare me to death on the street. And you kids were doing Alcoholics Anonymous in the very best possible way. I was so thrilled to be out there with you. Ken and I are old, so we were sitting over in the corner, and we had to, I don't know if you ever saw two old people over there today, but that was us. There was a hose, and it was so hot, you guys, that we'd go over and take the hose and squirt ourselves off and go back and lay down like we really belonged out there. I just want you to know that I know that Alcoholics Anonymous is strong here like it is in my home group, and somebody is teaching you young people because you were amazing and because I was able to stay and because I watched you guys have fun. And I watched men across the swimming pool throwing their babies up in the air and catching them and throwing their babies up in the air and catching them. And it's Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're sober today. And what a miracle that was. God, it was good for me. Because, see, I have an opinion on everything. And when you're too young and you look too good in your bikini and you have too many tattoos, I don't like you. And I want you to know that I love you and that you changed my mind and that you made my life so good today. And that I'm so grateful that Alcoholics Anonymous is alive and well and that you girls are beautiful. You are. And somebody told me at my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, if you act like a lady, Ann, you'll be treated like one. Ooh. That little lady from the TikTok told me to keep a nickel between your knees for the first year, Ann. Do you know that I could hardly read when I got here, but I knew exactly what she was talking about with that nickel between my knees? She said, we're a society within a society. You keep a nickel between your knees here. Ooh. Ooh. And it's still true, too. Any newcomer women and newcomer guys, I don't know what you guys do, but us girls keep a nickel between our knees, and it's still good. 26 years later, it's still good. There's a foundation in Alcoholics Anonymous that will give you a freedom that nobody needs to tread on. If anybody gets in your way, they gotta go. That you need that, and you need to have a connection with your sponsors so that you understand a development and a love, and then you find somebody that tells you the truth on a continual basis like I did. At 4 years of sobriety, and I tell you this not because I need for you to feel sorry for me, because if you do, I am still sick and will probably hurt you. But I need to tell you this story because if there's one person in this room who is in a tremendous amount of pain, I want you to know you can stay sober in Alcoholics Anonymous right now, smiling. You're fine, too. You're just like me. I know there's somebody out there. I'm fine. I think fine. And you're dying inside. I want you to know that you can stay. This man came back, the brown paper bag guy. I was 4 years sober. I opened a beauty salon of my own. It's very, very successful. Work tradition one on it on a continued basis. Do what's best to the whole. It is still going 25 years later. I was only 9 months sober when I opened that. Do you know any crazy people didn't say, you probably shouldn't do anything like that in your first year, Ann? You guys were so crazy. You said, oh, let me help you. Can we paint your bar? You know, you're in there helping like crazy. Nobody said I shouldn't do that. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. The shop is still going, and it's called Just For You. Because my sponsor told me that I can't get sober from my mom or my dad or from my kids or from my husband. It's just for you. And every day I drive into that little beauty shop and I turn in there and those customers think it's just for them. How blessed I am. My life is so very, very, very rich today. I went on this cruise and I did not like that man. Does not mean he's a bad man. He does not like me. We got married when I was drunk. He didn't like me any better when I was sober. I did not like him any better when he was sober. But we went on this cruise with these sober people, trying one more time to make something happen that I did on self-will that I kept thinking was God. And 2.5 months later, I have a fast-growing tumor in my belly. His name is Matthew. I am 5 years sober, and this little baby boy comes out. And people are standing at this podium, and they're talking about God. This little boy comes out mentally and physically retarded. I hate your guts. I have not had a drink. I have not done anything. I have gone to the doctor. Why? My head told me that I was very bad, just like I was when I was that little kid. And what God was doing had reeled me in to think that I have a chance to live a life with you. And here's your payoff. I hated God. I hated you. I hated people to get up at that podium saying, thank God that I found here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Hold me back, I'll rip your throat out. Am I going to tell you? No. It's none of your business. How are you, Ann? Fine. How's everything going? Fine. How's your business? Fine. How's that baby of yours? Fine. How's that husband of yours? Fine. Everything's fine. Thank you. Fine. You can find yourself right out the back door of Alcoholics Anonymous doing everything you're supposed to be doing. Meetings, 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 potlucks, breakfasts, everything. Having a sponsor, following direction. I have a secret. I have a little bitty secret here. I don't know how to tell her. I hate God. I hate you. I hate these meetings. I'm afraid. I don't know how to run that baby. I don't know how to make that baby. What am I going to do? He's gone. Fine. Thanks. Back off. I'm driving home from meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous a year later, pounding at God, pounding on that steering wheel, cussing at God, hating you. There's a man in my home group, and I don't care what you think of this, because if that man wouldn't have sponsored me, I'd be dead. I was walking out of that meeting in Huntington Park. It was 1 year, Christmas time, 1 year later. I got a hole in the middle of my gut that's so bad. I hate all of you so much. I hate God so much. And I can't tell that sponsor how I feel because I want to be her best baby. Because I have 5 years of sobriety and I don't want her to know that I hate her, that I hate God. I want to be her best baby. I have 5 years of sobriety for God's sakes. I did not know what to do. He took one look at me and said, Ann, if you don't find one person in here you can trust and a few friends to share your life with, you're going to die. Hole just went whoop, just like that. Do you know that I have found that if you have a hole in the middle of your gut and somebody loves you enough on a continual basis to tell you the truth, whether it hurts your feelings or not, you do not have to walk around with a hole in the middle of your gut. You might not like what they have to say, but if they love you enough and this program enough to tell you the truth, if your sponsor isn't hurting your feelings once in a while, whoa. And if you've turned your sponsor into your mom, whoa. They have to be not afraid to tell you the truth, and you just better toughen up and believe it. Because people in Alcoholics Anonymous, truly, that come to these meetings on a continual basis only have your very, very best interest at heart. That we work with other people, newcomers that come in here, because it saves our lives. But I also want you to know it's because there's a twinkle in your eye when you take that 30-day chip, and I'm going, that's my baby. And when that kid gets a year, when that kid gets five, I'll kill for her. And you tell them the truth on a continual basis, and you get to watch them grow. And Alcoholics Anonymous is just so magnificent. Truly it is. I told that man I hated God, I hated you. I hated these stupid meetings. He said, I don't care. Hate God, I don't care. Come to the meeting. I began to understand the beauty of that little boy. Unconditional love. He is definitely retarded. He's 22 years old. He's with his sister, the little girl I told you about that's 34 now, 35. He's 22. They're at home tonight. They're having a blast. I know they are. Some stupid Fullerton Flyers baseball game. Boring. Laughing. Having fun. He's about 7 years old mentally. Plays on a Challenger of baseball team, plays basketball. Loves me every day, unconditionally. He loves me in the morning when I don't have my little eyelashes on, when I don't have my little fridge in. He loves me when I'm butt ugly. He just loves me. Loves me. Do you know I've never loved anybody in my life? I've never loved anybody in my life unconditionally. I love you, but I want. I want a big house, big car, big diamonds, big. I want big, I want it right now. I want to know what kind of car you drive, what kind of job you have. I want to know how much money you have in the bank. He has taught me, see, he just loves me. He just loves me. Damn, I did not understand that. Best gift I've ever had. He loves me. He loves me. I love him. I love him. I can begin to love you. I love you. I can love me. I hear people get to this podium and they say, I come to a few meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous and love myself. Good for you. I did not come to a few meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous and love myself. I didn't even like me for a long time. He loves me. I love him. I love him. I love you. I love you. I can love me. Wow, he's cool. He is the very best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. It's unconditional love. He just loves me. He has taught me to be able to love. I don't know how to do that. I love you. If I can love you, I can love me eventually. It takes time. I'm doing well, and my shop's well, and they tell me my mom has cancer, their pancreas. I do not want you to feel bad for me. I have no guilt. I hate cancer, the pancreas. My mom's not supposed to get that. I'm driving down to a town called San Marcos. She wants me to take her to her cancer treatments. I have been sober. My sponsor's pounding at home. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you think. You said you're going to be there. Be there. I don't care. I'm driving down there cussing at God one more time. Why my mom? Why me? Why is this happening? I get there and my mom's sitting on her porch and she's very thin and she's crying. I put my arms around her and she said, I'm not afraid when you're here. Jesus. I want you to know I never drove down to San Marcos ever again, cussing and pounding on the steering wheel ever again. It was a privilege to take that woman to her cancer treatments, a true privilege. And it was a gift from you because, see, I don't know how to show up. I don't want to be there. I don't want to know this. I don't want that. I need a drink. That's what I need to do. I don't want to know this crap. My mom died. I have no guilt. Cool. No guilt. I am always guilty. I am always bad. I'm always coming from behind. I don't know where that comes from, but it's just in me. No guilt. My dad's in advanced stages of Alzheimer's, put him in a rest home very close to the beauty shop. It turned out to be many strokes, but he acted like an Alzheimer patient. I go over there, and I got him tied down. One night, I just go over there, and he's tied down, and he's covered in stool. I'm buzzing that buzzer. Jesus, she's busy. She's putting other people. Here you come again. You always save me. There's enough meetings inside of my soul. You save me. In my mind, you come. What's the next indicated thing, Ann? Get him up, wash him off, put clean pajamas on him, put him back to bed, take him strawberry Twinkies, turn on Vin Scully, and sing him a song called Room Full of Roses. Run to the meeting like a maniac. See your sponsor's face way over in the corner. Don't talk to nobody. Right over at him. Get right in his face. Right in his face. I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay. There are people in here talking about flat tires and broken fingernails. I just watched poof off my dad. Waiting for him to say something. Go get yourself a cup of coffee and sit in your seat. No, I don't want to sit in my seat. Go get yourself a cup of coffee and sit in your seat. Go over there and get yourself a cup of coffee and sit in your seat. And here you come again. Over here, I hear you guys, deep voices, talking. Over here is women. I can hear you sitting in the front row and I'm sipping this cup of coffee. I hear you girls giggling and laughing. I hear you men talking and laughing. Buzz in the room talks about electric atmosphere. I know you people know that. I know you people know about the electric atmosphere. You cannot act the way you acted today without having an electric atmosphere. I know that you guys go to meeting where there's electric atmosphere. There's an electric atmosphere, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sipping this cup of coffee, and I'm hearing all these voices. Everybody's talking. Nobody's listening. Oh, my God. And a thought comes into my head, and it says, Ann, if you just stay and don't go, the world is going to turn around, and you're going to be laughing and talking like one of those girls one day. Don't leave. I didn't leave. I want you to know that if you don't leave, that'll be your turn out of the barrel. That the most horrifying thing that is happening to you right this second, that you think you will never be able to stand, that if you just hold on, hold on, hold on, just hold on, keep doing what you're supposed to be doing because you're supposed to be doing it. And that thing will turn around and it'll be your turn out of the barrel. I give you my word. It might not be exactly the way that you want it, but you will be out of the barrel and you can laugh and talk if you want to. Really? Sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes I wash poop off my son 4 times a day if he's not feeling good because he can't tell me. And I'm sitting there and I'm the timer at the Monday night meeting and I'm mad. Now I'm washing that kid off for the 4th time and I'm going, I have 20 years of sobriety this time. I have 20 years of sobriety. What in the heck do you think you're doing, God? Do you not know who I am? There was a woman, she was beautiful, she was tall, she was a Yale leader when she was in high school, and she was married to an attorney, and she had very long legs. I hated her. I'm the little timer watching her. I have 20 years of sobriety this time. She said her son was killed coming home from Arizona. Knocked me off of my seat. I have never, ever, from that night on, been angry because I've got washed poop off my son's butt. That woman would do anything to be able to wash poop off her son's butt. And she's standing in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I am judging her. And she says something so profound to me that I just, never again will I ever be angry at anything that it takes, because that woman would do anything, any moment, for 5 seconds with her boy. Everything that I need, I get in Alcoholics Anonymous. Everything that I know in my heart, but I can't get it out to my head, I hear from you. I made a sponsor change because I'm very, very mean. And at my age, I need to soften up. And I have a woman that they call the Velvet Hammer now, who's my sponsor. And she tells me exactly the same thing, but in a much nicer manner. Because, see, I don't want to be angry. I want to try to remember what Dr. Bob told us. He said, erring tongue, we do not speak with an erring tongue. That we are to love one another, and I don't need to be angry. I don't need to pick you apart. There is only one thing that will ever make you be fired if I am your sponsor, and it is if you continue to gossip. There is no room in Alcoholics Anonymous for gossip. I will not tolerate it with my babies, and my sponsor won't either. If you're gossip, you have to go, because I'm just a human being, and I will find myself acting like you, and I don't want to be like you. Nobody in my group that I sponsor gossips. We do not talk about each other. We are love and full of service, because that's what we're supposed to be. There is one more thing, and I'm going to sit down. I was having a very hard day, and my sponsor, I said, I'm swimming as fast as I can. I feel like I'm going to drown. He looked at me, and he said, Ann, he said, I want you to bob. Start bobbing. When you have an old mean man like that, and he starts bobbing in the middle of Monday night, we're all bobbing. Pretty soon, all the people that are here sponsoring is running over, and they don't know what's wrong, but if he's bobbing, they're bobbing. We're all bobbing. He said, Ann, he said, I'm having a bad day, and you're going to hold me up. We're out here on the ocean, and we're bobbing on the waves. And you're having a bad day, and I'm going to hold you up. I'm having a bad day, and you're going to hold me up. He said, nobody drowns in Alcoholics Anonymous except for the ones that swim away. Please do not swim away. If you do not swim away, just keep bobbing on the waves. My life is lived with dignity because of you. It is a privilege to be with you. And I want to thank you, women, for showing me. You are so beautiful. I love you. Thank you.